What's going on, wrestling fans? Welcome into another edition of Near Falls with D-Hall, a wrestling podcast. Today, it is my favorite episode of the year. My favorite project, the Whipio preseason preview. So pumped up to release this to you guys. Just right off the bat, we're doing it a little bit different than we did last year. Last year, I had them all together on one. It was like 3 hours long. It was a lot. This year, I'm changing it up. Each single team is going to have their own little video, their own little episode of the pod. So you won't have to sift through all the other stuff. Super excited for that. We talked to all these different coaches, man. I had 30 guys come on from across AA and AAA, which shattered my goals for this year, which is awesome. So yeah, man, just super excited to release this to you guys. It was a lot of fun. These coaches were open and honest. They had great insight, and for me, man, just to sit down and listen to these guys talk about what they're wrestling, there's not much better in my world. So without further ado, here is the Whipio preseason preview. Thank you guys, love Jens, as always, brought to you by Switch Custom Apparel.
Welcome to the Near Falls Whipio Show, where D-Hall and Kaz are gonna tell you all the things you wanna know. Whether it's Trinity or Spencer Lee or Mr. Kurt Angle, just ask Vinny D, Whipio, Ken and Mac for sure. They got the interviews to serve your soul.
Okay, joining me next on the call, we have Butler head coach Scott Stoner. How are you, sir?
Good, Donnie. Thanks for having me on tonight. I appreciate the opportunity to talk about my team.
Oh, I'm super excited to have you on, my friend, talking about the Butler Tornadoes. You're one of the ones I missed out on last year, looking back at the list of schools I had. And, man, you guys had one hell of a year last year. Yeah. You guys were right there on the cusp, some really, really good individuals. And, obviously, one of the best Butler teams I've seen in quite some time. So talk about that team before we ultimately get into the preseason of this year.
Yeah, it's hard not to want to talk about it a little bit, because one of the things in wrestling, obviously, is having a balanced lineup the whole way up with some kids that are obviously your superstars you kind of rely on. And then you got some kids that are, pretty good kids who are going to come down the year, and they're going to get better and better. And then some other just scrappy kids that might fill in a weight class. And that's certainly a lineup that we had last year. And we wrestled a bunch of pretty quality teams through the Clearfield Duels, Virginia Duels, and really wrestled some quality competition, I feel, especially. And, we lost, I think, to Hempfield there in the quarterfinals to get into the WPIL or the WPIL semis by a point. And we had beaten them earlier in the year. And it's just one of those things that last year there was so much parity.
Oh my goodness.
It was, I don't know when it's ever been like that, you know.
As a fan, man, as an analyst or whatever, it was fantastic. Cause like you could flip a coin between, you know, you guys, West Allegheny, Hempfield, Trinity, Connellsville, Latrobe. I mean, there was Waynesburg. I mean, any of you guys could have been going to states. Any of you guys could have won. Yeah. It was so much fun last year.
That was obviously a career type thing for me to get that kind of a lineup together.
Yeah, and,
you know, one of the things it comes down to sometimes is that coin toss where you can manipulate your lineup a little bit. And, in that Hempfield match, especially, they got that flip and that helped them. And a couple of their kids really outperformed and did a good job, and they earned that. So it was a tough loss, but a great season.
Okay, moving on, flipping the page. Sure. Alumni, who's wrestling in college?
Well, I got four guys right now. Caleb Hartung wrestled for me years ago. He's at actually a really unique school, the Apprentice School in Norfolk. He does welding and things like that, and they do wrestling.
Very cool.
Yeah, it's really cool. It's a really cool program. If any kid's interested in that, they actually pay you while you go to school.
Man, I would have been all over that. I'm a tradesman. Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah, it is. And especially today in the trades, if there's any guys out there listening thinking college isn't their route, it's right out of Norfolk during the shipyards. It's a really cool thing. So we actually saw him at the Virginia Duels when we were down there wrestling last year. His team competes because they're right there in Norfolk.
That's not bad.
Yeah, cool. It was really, really cool opportunity. And then we have actually our heavyweight from 2 years ago, Jacob Palmacata, who was a blood round. He dropped a loss in blood round at States. He's actually wrestling at a school called Johns Hopkins. So he's going to be a neurosurgeon.
Not bad.
Yeah, yeah. He's actually playing football. And I talked to the coach about him being on campus. Coach called me right away and said, can I get his number? We need a good heavyweight. And he started last year, placed in, I think, three tournaments for them, and is really an exceptional type of kid, a career type kid where you have someone so gifted as far as academically and everything else he does. So that's a really important thing for me, getting my kids to wrestle in college. And then from last year's team, we had Landon Christie, who wrestled 215 for me. I think he won close to 30 matches. Yeah, he's right around 30 match winner last year. He's at Mercyhurst and walked on there. And then Ethan Babe, our heavyweight from last year, another guy that came out the Palmacata kid a couple years ago, who was one of my biggest success stories as far as a kid, you know, coming in younger years, really not being all that much of an example. And he just was a tremendous kid. And he made the change from football. He loved wrestling, wrestled 3 years. And again, he got to the blood round last year at WPILs in just 3 years as a heavyweight. So he's wrestling at Fairmont State down there.
Let's go with Coach G. That's awesome.
Yeah, yeah, yep, excellent. So those things as a coach are always a feather in your cap to see your kids go on and know that you're preparing them for the next level. And that's just as important to me as, you know, how many wins and losses we get. My kids love that. They have it in here and they want to continue that, you know?
Awesome, man. Okay. Yep. Moving on into the preseason. How's it gone for you guys? What's that typically look like for you as you get ready to start the season?
Well, we basically were doing some lifting and getting on the mats throughout the preseason. But throughout the year, in the summertime, I have my club open downtown. And some of my really dedicated kids have been there putting a lot of time in. So that's always always encouraging. But through the preseason, we did a little lifting, a little drilling. And this year especially, I have a lot of new kids coming out. And a couple kids that didn't go out last year that were on a junior high team a couple years ago, they came back. So we get some individual time or a little bit of time during that preseason to really work on those kids and get them back in, you know, wrestling mode to fill some spots that we lost to graduation and things like that. So first few practices, we're seeing a lot of little nicks and dings and injuries and things like that, that, you know, obviously as kids get in better shape, they're going to work through those things a little bit. But, you know, I think part of the reason why we're seeing that is they're really working really hard. And I don't know that that's anything coming off of last year's successful season and expectations, or just, you know, they're a good bunch of kids. And, you know, scattered throughout my lineup that we'll talk about here in a little bit, we've got some quality, high quality kids that I'm really going to be, you know, depending on to lead the team. And then some kids that, you know, I always get excited about the kids that come out that have never really wrestled before and how they may actually help out in that room and create that atmosphere, you know, wanting to be there. This is a society that gets away from work as much as they can. And our wrestling culture and our community is something that, you know, we have to hang on to, that people want to say, I'll do it the easy. This is easier over here. And we're going the other way, saying let's make it harder and let's make it something that we're going to develop and struggle a little bit and win because of it, you know? So.
Oh man, that's good stuff. And that's a great way to put it, man. You're 1000% right. And you know, ultimately I think that's why some of the numbers are down, because it's a softer world out there. And yeah. Not so much, you know, political correct term, I guess, but for the next thing I got for you, coaching staff. You know, obviously, whenever I see you guys, you always have a ton of guys rolling deep with you. Talk about your coaching staff and who's helping you out.
Well, this is kind of a unique story, because obviously I started coaching at Butler in 1993, and they only had a program as big of a school district as it is since 91, and they were awful. So the first couple years there, you know, you're going to go into the WPIL, big school, you're going to wrestle in Triple A, you're going to wrestle all these schools like NA, Seneca Valley, Shaler. Yep. They're just going to knock your doors off. And I think they were 3 wins and 23 losses, and those 3 wins were because of, you know, they got more forfeits than Quigley Catholic or whoever.
Right.
Right. Of time and Eddie Driscoll down there. But my coaching staff over the years, I've assembled them, and I've had my assistant coach is Fred Powell, and that name is probably going to perk a lot of people up that know. He's basically a legend. He's in every major Hall of Fame there is. He was my college coach at The Rock, and basically took me from seventh on the JEP chart at 118 my first 2 years to wrestling for a medal at the University of Iowa in 91 for a medal. But he's tremendous, been a tremendous influence on my life. And those are the kind of things we bond with these wrestling, our friends and our brothers and our people that we look up to as coaches. But he's been with me for 14 years now, and he was an two-time NCAA champ. And
not bad.
U.S. World Team. he coached Coach Waller. Coach Waller, he was Robbie Waller was one of Coach Powell's boys.
So he coached Coach Waller. Yes. That's saying something. Okay.
Yes, it is. And I know he's a favorite. Coach Waller or Coach Powell's there, and we've been together for 14 years. And I also have Alex Evanoff, who wrestled for me. He was a Butler kid. He had over 100 wins for me, one of my first 100 match winners. He wrestled at Waynesburg, 4 year starter at Waynesburg for Coach Ron Headley down there. And then Blake Caudill, who's second on my all-time win list with like 130 wins. He wrestled at Eastern Michigan University under one of our Rock alumni, Derek Del Porto. He's been there for 5 or 6 years, really quick foot speed and kind of guy. So those four guys I've either been coached by or I coached them myself. And then that trickles further down to my junior high staff, which is all Butler kids. Donnie Geibel's been with me for the longest time and done great job of feeding these kids with fundamental basics. And I got a couple of new kids this year that have wrestled and coached for me and a pastor with me. So it really is a very close-knit community type program. I mean, we are up here. We're away.
Yeah, you guys are, man.
Away.
You are.
Yeah. So
I have a camp up at Pyman Tooming, and every time I pass by Butler or through like Moraine, that area, I'm like, man, dude, yeah, this is up here.
Yeah. So anytime anybody comes out of Washington County, and obviously we try to get teams on the schedule over the years that, you know, are quality teams that are traditional type teams, and they'd have to drive up the next year. They were like, oh, I'm not coming back up here again next year. I'm like, it's like an hour and 10 minutes. What's the big deal?
But that, yeah, just put the kids on the bus, right?
Yeah. So, yeah, I'm pretty fortunate. And that's one of the things I think that any athletic program or any sport, you look across the board at teams that are successful or have any amount of tradition, and you've got a fundamentally solid foundation of coaches that are always there and want to be there and are doing it not for the money, as you can imagine. There's no money in this as far as wrestling. And you compare it to basketball, same length of season, but when basketball plays a tournament, they play a game on Friday night, and then Saturday's the finals or the consolation game. We're leaving at 5 o'clock in the morning on a Saturday, and you know, two nights and staying in hotels. My team stayed in hotels 4 nights last year, on our regular tournaments. So it's just great to have our coaches together and this kind of staff. It's really been something I've really been blessed with.
You touched a little bit on your team. You touched a little bit on those seniors, or not necessarily seniors, but guys you're leaning on. Who are some of those guys?
Well, obviously, last year, my big stud was Santino Sloboda. We reached WPIL finals and went on to states and had some great matches. His match in the semis was a fairly close match against the kid that eventually dominated in the finals. And bottom line, he's going to be one of those kids. I'm going to expect 5 or 6 out of him a lot. But we're also going to move him around in the lineup a little bit because we're trying to cover weight classes where we just don't have the depth. And, you know, and that, be honest with you, is something where I want to move him up at times to challenge him. I want him to be challenged every time out we can. And kids like him, at times, coaches will try to move away from you and forfeit. So, unfortunately, at times, so that doesn't help him. So I'm going to get him, weigh him in at 13 and wrestle him at 20 at times. But he'll be one of those kids. Moving up the lineup, then Case Chops, another kid, has done a lot of wrestling over the summer, some freestyle and Greco, and really does some upper body and inside sag stuff that's really powerful and exciting to watch for the sport itself. So I think he won like 33 matches for me last year, and he's going to be one of those kids. He's been working tremendously hard in the room.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So those two are going to be kind of a nucleus. Other kids like Gavin Rush won the Southmoreland tournament last year, placed in all the other tournaments. Not the kind of kid that dimensionally you see that there's, you know, like Santino or Case. We call him Backpack because he clings on to people and they just can't get away from him. He had a great season for us last year and won some key matches for us. He'll be one of those kids. The other guy, probably Kelly Shockowitz, is a returning senior, Leo Pino. And unfortunately, my own son is out for the season with a dislocated elbow.
Yes. Oh, man. Sorry to hear that, Coach.
Yeah, it's really rough because we just found out yesterday that it's going to be that bad that he's – I mean, it looks like it's going to heal, but just the laxity in that joint is something. So,
what year is he?
He's a sophomore, but he put a lot of time in with summer stuff and working out it and traveling to Quest, and he was really making progress, not just on the mat, but mentally. You could see the growth and development and the desire really coming out and banging with some of those studs they have down there was developing confidence. So that's kind of a tough, there's a little tension in the house right now.
And, I hear you, brother.
It's always tough to lose any kid, and then obviously you're sharing the same roof with him is tough. So
yeah, no doubt about it.
Yeah.
So moving on, how about you talked a little bit about Coach Geibel and how he does such a great job feeding you kids from the junior high program. Do you have any nice freshmen moving up into your squad?
Well, yeah, we actually have taking over at 107 where Santino was is going to be Nick Savano, who's a real hustling kid. I mean, he placed in some tournaments last year, so I think he's going to be a kid that, you know, when you go from junior high to come up, the expectation, the practice room is so much more drill-oriented and staying in position all the time. And, you know, you're really hitting the fundamentals in all three dimensions of wrestling, not just, you know, see what he can do and do some takedowns or whatever. He's gonna do well for us, I think, at 107. And he's one of those kids that spent a lot of time in the off season. And then I got a kid that's coming up at 113, has really showed some promise. Sullivan Stutz, he's again a kid that's, I get a lot of these kids, Donnie, and I pull them out of gym classes or off my son's.
I love it.
Pee-wee baseball. That's where I'm recruiting at. I'm definitely recruiting. I one time I turned into my athletic director, Tim O'Malley, who was head of the WPIL at the time. And I said, hey, I got to tell you, I got to turn myself in. I'm actively recruiting this kid. And he looked at me. He looked up over his bifocals at me. He's like, Stoney? And I said, he's in my seventh period, and he looks good. He looks like an athlete, and he can drop his hips, and he can move. And so that was my
– Here's the question. Hold on. How did you know he could drop his hips? You're a gym teacher then, huh?
Yeah. I've been phys ed here at Butler for 31 years.
Okay.
One of the things, actually, I
oh, so you to, cheat. You get to see all these kids' athletic ability. That's not fair.
Or lack of it. Is much more of a place. I'll tell you. And being in my building right now is 6, 7, 8. When I first went there, it was 9th and 10th. And the level of fitness and the level of athleticism in our kids, the minority of kids, there's hardly anybody that it just has athleticism and they're not on some sports team. You know, some kind of a league or a youth program or something. You used to have just kids that were just there or they were tough farm kids.
Right.
And, man, it's few, but that's why I don't teach at the high school. I transferred down when my old assistant coach, Bill Milan, who's our athletic director now, I coached him at The Rock for 2 years when I was a GA there. He went to AD, and I was at the high school. I went back to the intermediate to be with those younger kids and to have phys ed and take them into the wrestling room and teach them. And I'd get big teams, but now principal doesn't want to let me do wrestling because too many injuries. And it's well done. It's from a teaching standpoint. I'm doing lead up skills, but it's something that I recruit a lot of kids out of classes. So some of these freshmen I'm talking to you about, I've at one point or another approached their parents or done something to bring them out. And most of my kids come through Butler as my coaches are. I've had my hands on them for a number of years, and doing that even now through my club downtown that we have. That's a nice feeder program for us, you know.
Yes, that's awesome, man. Okay, next thing I have on the docket, goals and expectations for this team. You obviously talked about last year being one of the best years ever for Butler. How do you follow that up? What are you thinking for this year?
Well, obviously, coming off that and looking at that balance as we talked about before, you know, I'm a little hesitant to say that I think we can do some of the same things, but in years past, I've had lineups where I went into the season and I did not see the talent, but you know, if I can get into their heads and have them believing in things and develop a nice attitude where they want to wrestle harder for themselves or for the team and for the program rather than themselves at times, I'll get a lot of those kids that are lack of experience or maybe filling in a weight class or something to achieve. And, you know, I'm not a big prognosticator. I tend to think that, you know, I'll see what happens. I obviously have aspirations to win another section title and work towards that level. And I push that into the kid's head. So, you know, if you always put the expectations high, then, you know, what's going to happen? You're going to aim for that and have that goal. And I think that's always important. So I wish I could tell you, you know, we're going to win this or that. And that's in my mindset. But I can just tell you that we're going to work hard at it every day. And to be honest with you right now, going into the room, I know I've talked about some dings and nicks and things, but there's been a good attitude in the room. Kids are listening, working hard, and you know, I'm very excited about doing really well here this year again. Yeah.
All right. Last couple of things I have before I leave you go. Okay, new question I have this year: room games. You guys dodgeball, kickball. What do you guys get into?
Well, there's been a number of games over the year that have come to play. The Hard Tongue Kid I told you he's my Stormin' Mormon. He was a Mormon fellow, and he's a unique character. He was one of like 12 kids. I think his brother played football. He started this thing with a jump rope where you get down on the ground real low because I told him to get his hips low, and he would circle around. The whole team jumps over it, and as they jump over it, and he spins it faster and faster and goes higher. they're eliminated. So it doesn't do it justice without you seeing him, and he's dead serious about it. And we do that, and that's kind of a fun type thing. We do some dodgeball stuff like that. You know, but other than that, nothing structured. The other day we did some swimming. We went to the pool. We have a pool right there at our facility. So that's something that we go in and do, and they end up camel fighting a little bit, that kind of stuff. But the jump rope thing is the wild woozy, he calls it. So he'd take over the center of the mat and get spinning. And again, it's something that, you know, you lose something without the actual visual effect of this kid.
No, I got you. Will you get in on the so-called wild woozy?
No.
Coach.
Four knee surgeries on my right and one on my left. And, you know, I'm hoping to hang in there another couple of years. I'm very active in my coaching style, and I'm on the mat and moving with kids still. And I look up the guys that have put the time in, like my coach, and I say to myself, how am I going to keep going? My hips are bad and all this stuff, you know, but I look at him and he's in the room every day, and he's had knees replaced and shoulders replaced. And he's on the mat with the kids. He's not on a clipboard taking role. He's taking notes and working one-on-one and the last person out. So, you know, it's kind of a legacy thing for me. And that's partially what we named our club by. It's just a lifetime commitment to it. But I'm going to also know when my limitations are not to jump rope and do those things.
I love that.
Yeah.
Okay, Coach, this is the first time I've had you on, so I ask everyone this the first time they come on the show. Favorite near fall or pin you've ever been a part of?
Oh, jeez. At one point, years ago, I was wrestling at Millersville, and I was down a few points, and I went up over the front arm, and I went under a guy, and I did like an underbody spin and put him to his back and pinned him with like no time left. And that was kind of a, like, one of those things, your back's against the wall, you've got maybe one shot and everything clicks together and went, you know, obviously, fresh in my mind, it wasn't a pin, but last year when we won at North Allegheny, last match of the night was Gavin Rush, the backpack kid that we talked about before, and to lay it on a kid that didn't have the best fundamental wrestling skills and sending him out there against a kid that had beaten him before, and then he turned him five and six times in a row, and the points just kept coming, and, you know, that's probably one of my fondest memories as of late. So, but as far as pins of my own pins years ago, that was one of the cool things that I'll throw it out at my kids every once in a while. As much as I said I don't play games, I'll still drill and work with them at times and do some things that are kind of non-conventional and I get away with, and they look at me like I'm an old man, I shouldn't be doing that stuff, you know? So,
yeah. Yes, for sure.
I still love it though. I mean, I love everything about it. The pressure gets to you at times because, again, I take it very seriously to develop all my kids as a team and to make them understand that although people talk about wrestling being individual, I don't think of it that way. I think when you go out there, you have your community on your back, your parents on your back, and you're carrying the weight of other people, and that's a true warrior type spirit. And that's what I try to project to those kids. And that pressure sometimes, gets to you because you don't want to fall short. You don't want to make a mistake, or you don't want to underprepare people. So that's basically my thought process on that.
I like it. Okay. Social medias, how can we follow you this year?
We're on Facebook, Butler GT Wrestling, and that's something that we've set up for a while. It's Butler GT Wrestling, and then I'm on X, I guess it is now, at GTW Coach, and that's basically how you can pick up on our stuff. And you can visit our website, and we have stuff throughout the year. We do a lot of extra stuff, Donnie. We run like 6 tournaments out of our small
intermediate. I see you guys always have something going on. It's awesome.
Yeah, and that's something that I think that any coach, you try to go out and win matches and things like that, but I think you need to wear your label and program through your community. And we have a small gym, and that's where our intermediate, where our wrestling room is, and I'm stationed out of there, and it's basically my gym. So we run all these tournaments, and we want people to know it's a wrestling community, and we draw people in, and the expectations are there. But we do stuff like spaghetti dinners. We do purse bashes with the football. We do golf outings. Those are all kind of like community things that I think draw people together in a day and age where, you know, it doesn't seem like any of the things that used to be there in your local communities, your recreation facilities and things like that are around anymore, you know? So So they can follow us on Butler GT Wrestling on Facebook.
Okay. Anything or anyone you want to shout out before I leave you go?
I think I'm good. I appreciate being on, and I'm looking forward to a great season, and hopefully we keep everyone healthy and get everyone down to weight classes, and we'll give it everything we got. That's for sure.
No doubt. And I'll see you out there at some of these tournaments, I'm sure.
Yeah. Yep. Great. Thanks for having me, guys. Appreciate it.
You.
Okay.